What a great response and what a great turnout. People seem to be really surprised and shocked to see people at 7:45 in the morning willing to cheer them on as they ran. So that was just fun to see. And so thank you, by the way. Thank you, church, for coming out and being the church. Thank you for doing that and getting involved and meeting the community right where they're at. What a great time that we had. Now, we're going to get jumping right into the message. This morning, I'm going to give you a heads up here on some text to look at. So if you want to look up, it's in your outlines. In your bulletin, there's an outline. 1 Kings 17 and Luke 22. If you kind of want to get your fingers there while we take care of some other business here, we're going to be referring to that. I'm not going to go in-depth, but I want you to see two things. So we're going to be old and new and then get right into talking about boundaries. But I want to ask, while you're looking that up, Adele, if you would come this morning. And what we want to do is we want to just take some time and be able to pray for Adele as she's getting ready, on a sad note, to leave us. So, but on a good note, doors have opened up where she's able to kind of pursue your dreams. But is there anything you'd like to say, Adele?
Yes, first off, how awesome that the church was out there cheering people on. When I ran that 10K last year, nobody was out there cheering me. So it was pretty awesome to see that, you know. But anyway,
cool.
I got blessed and, let me back up for a moment. I was a manager at Ashford, and of course, you know, they shut the doors, and so everyone on campus is looking for employment. And I've always wanted to counsel women who have been abused, whether that's been rape or domestic violence. And God opened up a door in a town that I had never heard of, so I'm pretty sure there is something there that I don't see on the surface. The town called Oskaloosa, Iowa. So God is moving me there at 5:30 in the morning. And so it's really hard to say see you later, it's not goodbye. I've been a member of this church since I was 12 and grew up with this guy and pastor, you know, as my pastor. So this will always be my church home. Thank you for your prayers in advance. And that's about it. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, as you get ready to go to this new season, yes. You want to come on up? And I want to ask church if you would just, we want to send her off. Wait, she's going to a new place, new season, new time in life, and new challenges. So we just want to pray and send her off. So could you just extend your hand as we pray for her and say, Father God, we pray in the name of Jesus, an anointing upon Adele's life. We ask, Father God, that as she gets ready to go forth, she's just not chasing a dream that's out there because it's been in her mind and she just wants to go. Lord, it's something you placed in her heart. So Lord God, I pray that as we listen to you and obey your voice, Lord God, as we have the boldness and the tenacity to put hands and feet to the passion and dreams that you've placed inside of us, Lord, I ask that you give Adele favor, Lord Jesus. I ask that you would grant her the wisdom from above, Lord God, to be able to do that which you're calling her to do. And Lord, we plead your blood over her life. We ask that you give her safe travels, that you give her favor financially. We ask that you give her favor spiritually and in her workplace. Lord, give her favor in her community as she goes there. And Lord, she can kind of locate where she's at and who they are, and Lord, find out how she best fits to show that love of Jesus. So Lord God, we speak that into her life, and we ask this all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 God bless you, Adele.
Thank you.
And Adele, if you need help moving, if you need help financially, anything like that, you feel free to call Pastor John, okay?
Financial
Pastor John. Yeah. He's not here to... He's not here to defend himself, so I can do that. Oh, in your outlines, your bulletins is an outline. And we're going to continue in our series on no trespassing. Last week, we took some time and we talked about what boundarylessness means. And boundarylessness isn't necessarily a word, but it is one now. Because what is it like when we live a life without boundaries? So we talked about what are we responsible for? And that's important to know. We're responsible for many things, but many times we try to shuck that off onto somebody else because we don't want to take that responsibility. This week, I want to talk to you about no boundaries, K-N-O-W, with the N-O capitalized, because you have to know boundaries. You have to know where the lines are drawn. But let me tell you something. Just because you know where the lines are drawn doesn't mean that you followed or obeyed what those boundaries are until you actually learn to say yes or no. You've got to do that in life. I know where the boundaries are in some of areas of home, or I know that there's a boundary when I drive down the road and it says speed limit 35, but there's something inside of me that wants to do at least 40. How about you? You're like, no, I wouldn't do that, Pastor. Must be 45 then, right? There's a boundary, and just because you know what the boundary is doesn't mean that you have to follow the boundary, but it starts there, knowing the boundary. Then there comes the being willing to discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. It's applying what you know so that you can become better in who you are. So we're going to continue here, and I'm going to read to you from 1 Kings, okay, verses 1 through 7 kind of in there, and I'm going to jump right over to Luke 22, because what I want to talk to you about is just show, and I'm kind of referencing a man named Elijah in the Bible. The man named Elijah was a Tishbite in verse 1, and it says, he said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word. And the word of the Lord came to him, depart from here. The word of the Lord came to him, Elijah, and said, now that you've said what you said, depart from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook of Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of God. He didn't just know the boundary. He did. He obeyed what God said. And he went and he lived by the brook of Cherith, east of the Jordan. Verse 6, and the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. Verse 7 says, and after a while, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Now flip right over to Luke chapter 22. And you're going to see in verses 39, Jesus. We just read about a man named Elijah. We'll talk about him in a moment. Now we're reading about a man named Jesus. You ever heard of him? Okay, he's in the book here. Great. And right now, the disciples have argued about who's the greatest, and Peter denies. There's the denial thing that goes on. And Jesus says in verse 39 that Jesus came out and went as was his custom. Say that with me. As was his custom. To the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And here, check this out. He withdrew from them about a stone's throw away and knelt down and prayed. Let's stop right there. You got a man named Elijah in the Old Testament who had to understand to know what boundaries are. Because God showed up and said, I want you to go to King Ahab and proclaim this. I'm sure that part of him did not want to do that because King Ahab was King Ahab. Not only that, but he was married to Jezebel. So I'm sure he didn't want to face that whole mess there. But he went and did it anyway. And when he did what he was supposed to do, God said, now I want you to go this way, and I want you to be by the brook, and I will feed you, I will provide for you, I will take care of you. A man named Elijah had to not only know what the boundaries were, but had to apply them. You know what I found out? Is I found that when you obey the boundaries according to the word of God, and not only that, but when you respect what a boundary is, God provides for you. You know, you got a man named Elijah who's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't know if this is the right move. But you find out Elijah, the ravens brought him meat day and night. God provided for him by the brook. And all of a sudden you see him providing the water. He understood boundaries. Even Jesus himself, it says, came out as was his custom. It was a routine that Jesus had to spend time with the Father. And I can't help but think that if Jesus, while he walked here on earth, had a routine of spending time with Father God, how much more should we be having that same routine? How important is that? As was his custom. So here's what Jesus did. He said, I'm going to do what I normally do every day because I spend time with the Father. So disciples, why don't you come with me, as is my custom, to go spend time with the Father. And they went away. And he said, okay, now this is what I'm going to do. We're going to pray. So let's take some time and pray so that you don't enter into temptation, okay? He said, okay. And then Jesus withdrew from them. What Jesus was exampling right there for you and for me is that there's going to be times in life where we have to understand where the boundaries are, even to those that are the closest to us, because we may need to withdraw from them. He said, well, if I withdraw from them, isn't that being mean? Not necessarily. Well, if I withdraw from them, they're going to get mad. Okay, that's their problem. The question is are you doing what it is that you know you need to do? Well, God is speaking to you. You see, boundaries, we said it last week, I think I put it in your outlines again, is anything that helps to differentiate you from someone else and show you where you begin and end. In other words, boundaries help you to determine so that your yes is yes and your no is no, so you can define what it is you like and who you are. So we're going to continue to talk about not only what we're responsible for, but we're going to see how Jesus himself exampled how to set boundaries and what a boundary is and what a boundary does. So I'm going to try to go through the first portion fairly quickly because I want to hang out on what a boundary does. It's very important to catch this. What we're dealing with this morning when we talk about boundaries is, think of it as property lines. You all have property lines around your house, don't you? You may not know exactly where they are, but if your neighbor starts to encroach upon your property, you're going to find out where they are real quick. Why? Because I don't like them easing in on my territory. See, that's what a boundary is. And a boundary is going to be there so that we can understand what's mine and what's yours. So it is in the spiritual realm. So it is when we're dealing with our emotions or our relationship. There's boundaries, and sometimes we cross one another's boundaries not realizing it, and that's why we get frustrated. That's why we get mad. There's an example of a couple news articles, true stories, that kind of blew my mind. Throw the first picture up here. A guy came home one day to find this in his driveway. Those are cinder blocks going down the middle of his driveway. You want to know why? Go ahead, and the next picture shows it a little bit more close up, because that's where the property line is. And he came home, and his neighbor was mad that the neighbor's driveway was on his property, so he decided to do this. And it's actually gone to court. Now, I don't know how old this news article was. I was using the wonderful gift of Google at this point and looking around for some, you know, ideas. But here's an extreme one. Go ahead with the next picture. This guy's garage was, half of his garage was on his neighbor's property. And while he was gone, his neighbor got mad enough that he went and took out half his garage. He went and cut that thing in half because he said, it's on my property and there's nothing you can do about it. The guy was mad because his garage was on his property. And it irritated him so much that he destroyed half the man's garage. Think about it. Going home today and finding half of your house gone, half of your car, half of your garage because your neighbor's mad that you're on his property. Now, there's something to be said about respecting those property lines, but there's also something to be said about learning to communicate when frustration hits. See, we've got to learn to do both. It's not just about learning to understand boundaries, but learning how to navigate through them and not just getting mad or getting angry or destroying something. Personal boundaries, they're that which can develop who we are, what we allow in and what we allow out. They're like property lines around our home. This is my property. This is not my property. This is your property. This is what I call mine. This is what I call good. This is what I believe, and this is not. So we learn to separate the two. To know yourself and be sure that you're loved is essential to all of relationships and all of our activities. And the better your boundaries are, the greater capacity you have to receive love and to give love. Did you know that? The greater your boundaries, the greater capacity you have to receive love and give love. Some of you are here today and you want to receive more love and you don't know why you're not getting it. It's because you don't understand boundaries. You want to love more, but I just can't love them because they just irritate the snot out of me. Well, the reason is because we don't understand our boundaries. When we define what's ours and what's yours, then we can love each other because we're loving the way God's telling us to love. Not just loving out of our own selfish, it's my house, my driveway, my garage. It's one of the first words we learn when we're born. Mine. Mine. So we have to learn this. If we learn what it means to set boundaries, that's good. But will it do anything if we just know it in our head? No. We have to learn to communicate that to others around us. We have to learn to let people know what our boundaries are. And that's where we struggle. Oftentimes, we know where we have some boundaries set personally, just we've not communicated them clearly to other people. And then we get mad when they cross our boundaries that we haven't communicated to them. You see where I'm going with that? Two people are nodding their heads. How about the rest of you? Either you're really getting it and you don't want to admit to it, or we need to understand this. The better our boundaries, the greater capacity we have to love the people around us. Some of the relationships, some of the workplace environments, it's because of the boundaries that we don't have. And a lot of times people are surprised to learn this, that Jesus himself set boundaries. He did this because, one, it was necessary to do them while he walked on this earth. He had to do that. Otherwise, he'd become frazzled, just like you and me. But number two is he set these boundaries to show us an example of how and why it's important to set boundaries for our life. So Jesus, by the way, had far more stress than you and I. Can we agree on that? Okay, he had far more people mad at him. Do you agree with that? He had far more people that wanted to kill him than you and I. Do you agree with that? Yeah? So Jesus had all of this going on. He had more responsibility, yet he remained relaxed, joyful, generous to the people that he encountered. He was able to remain that way. One of the problems some of us run into is we have trouble saying no to people. or we avoid speaking the truth in love. And sometimes it's because we're trying to rescue other people, and without realizing it, we may actually end up enabling the people we're trying to rescue because we don't know how to say no. In doing so, it can create problems. I know I grew up thinking this. Now, I want to clarify what I thought and what I decided. This was not necessarily a right thought. And it's not necessarily something my parents taught me or somebody did. It's just something I picked up along the way. And sometimes you do this, but as I was growing up, I felt like I could never say no to people. I felt like saying no was wrong. I felt like saying no was mean. And if I said, no, I can't help you, no, you can't have my time, no, I'm busy because my family's a priority or whatever reason it was, guilt would rush in, you know. And they say, can you help me out? No, I can't. And then you'd be like, oh, man, I'm such a failure. I'm not really showing Christ-like love. I'm not really being a good Christian. And all this guilt would rush in. And the problem was, is I ended up becoming a people pleaser. You ever know people that have found themselves there? Or maybe that was you. You found yourself being a people pleaser and you're living life now based on what others want or expect out of your life rather than checking in with God and saying, what do you have to say? You see, that'll destroy you. I had such a problem with that for my own life personally. And it finally came to a place where I said, God, I don't get it. What's the problem? And God finally showed me and he said, Jim, the problem's you. You decided that you have to be a people pleaser. You decided that you can't say no when I never said you couldn't say no. And if we don't get this clear in our hearts and our lives, it's going to weigh us down. I had to learn, and I'm still learning that even Jesus set boundaries repeatedly. And if Jesus set boundaries, how much more do I need to? In humanity, Jesus, he had limitations just like you and me. Jesus had a human body, right? Do you agree with that? Okay, he had a human body, so he's like you and me. He could feel, you know, he could clap, he could all that stuff. Jesus, he needed nourishment. He needed rest, just like you and me. Jesus could only be in one place at one time. So Jesus had limitations, and he was limited like us to a 24-hour day. And he was able to accomplish what needed to be done, but some of us have been living life so ambitious that we try to fit 26 hours worth of work into a 24-hour day, thinking that we're more spiritual than even God himself. When Jesus walked this earth, he set the example. He had the stress, he had the pressures, but he also had good boundaries. And that's why he could be the way he was. He did that to example for you and for me. See, Jesus had personal needs, but he put that priority on, sometimes even over the needs of other people. And he did that without feeling guilty, by the way. He was able to do that. The reason he could do this was because he would separate himself from people and be alone with God. Some of the best ways to find out where your boundaries are is to get away from everyone else and spend some time with God and say, God, what do you say? God, what do you say? Because he did this, it kept him from burnout. It kept him full of grace. It kept him full of truth and compassion and generosity. And, you know, another thing you notice about Jesus is that he wasn't always nice to people. Did you know that? Did you guys know that? Jesus was not always nice. I mean, think about it. The first one we always go to is you always go to the money changer. He goes in there and he starts flipping up tables. And it wasn't just about the money. It was about the religiosity and all that was going on there. Jesus was not always nice about the way that he did things. Often he didn't do what people wanted him to do. There were many people he didn't help. Whenever he didn't help other people, or whenever he did help other people, he expected them to do their part. For example, yeah, there was the man, you know, even Jesus in his miracles, he asked people to do something. And have you noticed he usually asked people to do something that they thought they couldn't do? You got the man that was blind, and Jesus gets a holy hocker. He gets some dirt, does one of these and puts it in the man's eyes. How many of you would love that? Have somebody spit in your eyes. I remember in kindergarten when I had a kid spit in my face. He spit and it landed right on my cheek. And I was, you know, I was like, that's gross. Why would you do that? Here, Jesus is putting in people's eyes. But do you know what that man still had to do? That man still had to walk a long way to get to the pool of Siloam to wash the mud out of his eyes. There was a part that he played in. He had to do. The man with the withered hand, his arm was withered up, and Jesus said, stretch out your hand. He asked him to do something he didn't think he could do, but yet he tried, and he received his healing because of it. Even Lazarus being dead, there had to be a response there. There's a responsibility that we have, and many times we think setting boundaries is mean, it's selfish, it's wrong, and we have to make sure we filter that through the heart of the Father. Because if your motive is to be mean, and if your motive is to be selfish and wrong, then you've missed the heart of God. But if your motive is to establish boundaries so that you can live free, then you're on the right road. Let me give you some examples right in the front there of how Jesus set boundaries. The first one is obedience. He set examples in obedience. What do you think? He said there was a man who had two sons. Now, I put the scripture reference because I didn't have all the space in the world, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase it. He said, the father went to the son and said, son, go and work in the vineyard for me. And he said, I will not. But then he ended up going out there and working. Then he asked the second son, go out there and work. And he said, sure, I will, father. But then he never went out and worked the field. Which of those obeyed? And of course, they responded and said, well, the one who did the work the father asked. You see, he started establishing and telling the story for the example of setting boundaries. Boundaries are set as we obey. Jesus taught about this in obedience. Obedience is not just about what you say you will do. It's about what you actually will do. To say that you will do something and then not do it, it's just misleading and irresponsible, and it's disobedient. God shows us that we must have boundaries. The second thing he did was in pleasing God. He said there's boundaries in pleasing God. What do you mean by that? Well, Jesus taught us about the importance of boundaries in order that we may be more focused on pleasing God rather than worrying about pleasing man. Remember people pleaser? We talked about that. John says, how can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet you make no effort to obtain praise that comes only from God? Be careful. Watch how your priorities are set. Make sure it's about pleasing God. As a matter of fact, that's number three. Write down priorities. He taught us about boundaries and priorities. He said, you better have good boundaries here. Without boundaries in our priorities, we're going to want everything. You ever want everything? You ever have children that want everything? Not you. We want what we want when we want it. And that's half of the reason for the problems in our world today is we always think about me. We always think about what we want. Luke, no servant can serve two masters. Either he's going to hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. We must prioritize what's most important. Boundaries help us do that. Another one is honesty. Write that one down. Simply, in Matthew, it says, let your yes be yes, and your no be what? Making sure you're with me. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one. See, boundaries help us to define our yeses and our nos. And without boundaries and honesty, we just end up telling people what they want to hear. Honesty. The last one there is prayer. He gave boundaries in prayer. He said, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray. He said, here's some boundaries in prayer. Why does Jesus teach us this direction and how to pray? Well, it's because he knows that if he doesn't give us the direction or tell us what the boundaries are, we won't do it. We won't do it. Or if we attempt to, we may get misguided a little bit. So he sets those boundaries. Boundaries are personal property lines that define who you are and who you are not. Physical boundaries, they help you to determine who may touch you and under what circumstances, whether that be a friendly handshake to an intimate touch. There's boundaries physically that go on in our world today. There's mental boundaries. They give us freedom to have our own thoughts and our own opinions. There's emotional boundaries. And emotional boundaries help us deal with our own emotions and disengage from maybe some wrong thought patterns. We've got to learn what these boundaries are and where the line is drawn. But the question still remains, what is a boundary? Beyond the definition, what is it? What is it? Number one, we're going to move right along into that. Here's what a boundary is. A boundary is being responsible to others, not for others. Catch that, please. Boundaries are being responsible to others, not for others. Galatians 6:2. It's in your outlines. It's up on the screen. Let's read that together. Ready? Go. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Here's Galatians 6:5. Read that one with me as well. Ready? Go. For each will have to bear his own load. This verse shows our responsibility to one another. And many times, others have burdens that are just too far too big to bear. They don't have enough strength or resources or knowledge to carry the load, and maybe they need help. You know, denying ourselves to do for others what they can't do for themselves is showing sacrificial love of Christ. This is exactly what Christ did for you and for me. He did what we could not do for ourselves. He saved us. See, that's being responsible to somebody. On the other hand, verse 5 says that each one should carry his own load. In other words, everyone has responsibilities that only he or she can carry. These things are our own particular load that we need to take daily responsibility for and work out in our lives. So no one can do certain things for us. We have some responsibility that only we can take care of, and we've got to take ownership of that. The Greek words for burden and load give us some insight into this meaning of this text. The word burden in the Greek means excess burdens. Excess, that means more than you can handle. These burdens are like boulders. They can crush you. We shouldn't be expected to carry boulders by ourselves, should we? Can you carry a boulder? It'd be kind of like coming over here. I brought these up for a reason. Some people are wondering, why in the world did you bring these boxes up? What are we going to look at? I want you to know that I was able to pick up one of these and carry them up on the stage. But I can't pick up two. I just can't do it. This is too much. I could try, but I won't be preaching second service because I'll hurt myself. This is too big of a burden for me to carry. I can't do it, but I can call on one of you, two of you, three of you, and you can come up and you can help me carry this, right? That's what it's talking about. Some of us have burdens that are just so heavy, there's no way I can pick both of these up. It's too much and I need help. You see, that's where we step in as the body of Christ and we help out one another. That's following Christ's example of being responsible to one another. But what we need to be careful of is the next word, load, in the Greek means cargo or burden of daily toil. And this word describes the everyday things that we all need to do. So these loads, it says everyone's responsible for their own load, means it's kind of like having a backpack, right? Knapsack, that's a good word to use. I put this on this morning. My wife said I look like a Ghostbuster, and I was happy about that. You see, here's the thing. Let me go back and just look at this a minute. Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens. You're supposed to do that right there. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 5, for each one will have to bear his own backpack, knapsack. But you know what we end up doing when we don't have boundaries and we get them all misguided and misconstrued? What happens is we start going around and we start telling people, carry my backpack. I'm tired of carrying it. It's kind of like when your children are young and you're going around Disneyland and they got to carry this dinky little backpack and you've got like 50 other things. And they're like, this is so heavy. I can't hold it anymore. Please, mommy. Please, daddy. I don't want to carry it anymore. Oh, and they start doing that stuff. Yeah, you've been there, huh? That's what God's saying is he says, when I take you to Disneyland, don't you dare say, I can't carry this backpack, because you can. Everyone will be responsible to carry their own load. And some of us are going around, though, the opposite is true. Some of us have burdens that we are trying to carry on our own, and we're not letting others in. We're not letting them come in and be a part of the body of Christ. Why? Because our boundaries are backwards. Boundaries say, proper spiritual biblical boundaries say that we must be a people that understand we can help one another with their burdens, but you carry your own load. You take responsibility for that. We have to make sure to do that. Otherwise, we miss some of those priorities. So, what we find that to be is what a boundary is what is a boundary? Being responsible to others and not for others. Number two, write this one down. Boundaries are a guard, not a wall. Sometimes we forget that. Boundaries are a guard, not a wall, because we'll use boundaries as a wall to keep people out. Don't come in here. You can't see this. Or the opposite. We put a wall up and say, you can't get out. You're staying here. You're held captive. You're my prisoner. And we let boundaries be a wall. And God says, no, that's not what a boundary is. A boundary is to be a guard. Sometimes we have bad on the inside, and we need to get it out. Right? Or is it just me? Am I the only one that experiences that? Sometimes we have bad on the inside and there's good on the outside. And in these instances, we need to make sure that we're able to open our boundaries and let the bad out and let the good in. I want to say this. I don't know who's here and who's listening to this, but I want to tell you this. There's some people that have gone through abuse. They've been physically, sexually molested or some type of an abuse, and what happens in almost every case is they take the boundaries and they flip them around and they keep the good out and they keep the bad in because that's all they know. I just want to tell you, these boundaries that God gives, it's a guard, not a wall. It doesn't mean you lay it all down and let everyone do whatever they want. You trust the Holy Spirit. You trust our Savior to lead you through that and heal your heart. So we need to have a way, though, a guard. You put a guard there because confessing pain and sin, that helps us to get it out so that it doesn't continue to poison us on the inside like a cancer. And when good's on the outside, we need to open up the gate and let it in. We need to let it in. Revelations that Jesus showed us in referring to this, Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and what? Opens the door, I will come in. I will eat with him, and I will be with him." See, other people have good things to give us, and we need to open up to them. We need to be willing to do that. Often we close our boundaries to the good from others, and we deprive ourselves because I got hurt before. I'm not going to do that again. Now, granted, there is wisdom. You know, when you step in a pile of dog do and you know where the dog do is, you avoid the dog do the next time, right? That's wisdom. I'm not saying open up your hearts to doing that again. I'm saying use the wisdom so you know how to move around that and still experience the best that God has. But you have to let your boundaries be guards, not walls. Otherwise, you will shut everyone out. You will shut everyone out. The Bible does not say that we're not to be walled off from others. In fact, it says that we're to be one with them. The Word of God, John 17:11 says, "Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one." You see, we're to be in community with the rest of the believers. But in every community, all the members have their own space. They have their own property. And the important thing is that property lines become permeable, flexible, movable, so things can move through them, but yet strong enough so that they can withstand danger. So be careful not to get these backwards, because that's what a boundary is. But let me talk to you about what a boundary does. This is how it kind of plays out in our life. Number one, you will find out that a boundary, what it does is it defines you. Write that down in number one. It defines you. Lisa and I bought a house in 1999. It was right at the end of the year, right before Y2K. We moved right on Y2K. And when everyone else was worried about it, the computers in the world shutting down, we were worried about finding a rental truck that we could move our stuff. And when we bought this house, we loved it. We wanted to know, when we bought this house, though, where's my property lines? Where's our boundaries? Why? Because I want to know how much of this is mine and how much of this is not mine. I want to know how much of this lawn I have to mow, because it was a big lawn. I'm like, I don't want to have to mow any more lawn than I don't have to. I looked at that driveway and I said, I want to know where my boundaries are, because I don't want to shovel any more than I have to shovel. Where are my boundaries? You know, in the same way we want to know boundaries of a property we're going to buy, we must also know what boundaries are and what they are not, so we can live peaceably in the life that's set before us. So boundaries define what is me and what is not me. They define what is you and what is not you. A boundary shows me where I end and someone else begins. If I know where my yard begins and ends, guess what? I'm free to do whatever I like in my yard. I can enjoy my yard. Taking responsibility for my life opens me up to different options. However, if I don't take responsibility, my choices and my options become very limited. Are you still with me this morning? Are you catching this here? Okay. Think about how confusing it would be if somebody came to you and said this. They said, I want you to guard my property diligently, okay? Because I'm going to hold you responsible for what happens on this property. But then they left and didn't tell you where the boundaries were. How frustrating would that be? How confusing would that be? That would be so dangerous as well. And this is exactly what happens to us emotionally and spiritually. God designed a world where we are to live within ourselves and we are responsible for the things that make us, us. We're responsible for that. If we're not shown the parameters or taught what the wrong parameters are, we're in for much pain in our life. It's kind of like the proverbial, son, don't put your finger in the light socket. Why? Because it's going to hurt. If they don't know those boundaries and they go sticking their finger in there, they're going to experience a lot of pain. So that's why we share those boundaries. Boundaries help us define what is not our property and what we're not responsible for. We are not responsible for other people. Nowhere are we commanded to be others, other controlled, although we do spend a lot of time trying to achieve that, don't we? Have you ever thought, somebody asked once, they said, if you could have a superpower, what would it be? I'd like to control everyone's thoughts. And I thought, that would be awesome. But then everyone would be like me, and that would be a very scary world. You see, sometimes we fantasize about, man, if I could just control their thoughts, if I could control this, if I could control that situation, it's not going to happen. Let me take you back to my house. You know, when we bought this house, we knew where our property lines were at. We knew what was ours. We knew what was not ours. And since we know what is ours and what is not ours, I now need to start doing something with the stuff that's mine. I have to take responsibility. And I have to stop worrying about what isn't mine. And this principle is true for our lives as well. Boundaries define who we are and who we are not. We're responsible for what we're responsible for. We are not responsible for our neighbor. Now, that goes true for family members as well to some degree. There's some responsibility we do have in raising our children up to a point, correct? We've got to raise our children. There's a responsibility that we have to provide for them. But our responsibilities are because we put a roof over our child's head. I'm responsible to do that. Lisa and I are responsible to do that as parents for our children. We're responsible to feed our children. We're responsible to put clothing on them. We're responsible to raise them to love the Lord. But what I'm not responsible for is I'm not responsible to buy him an Xbox because everybody else has an Xbox, Dad. I'm not responsible for that. I'm not responsible to give them everything they want simply because they want it. I'm not responsible to make sure that they're liked by everybody. I'm not responsible to make sure their homework's done. I'm not responsible to do their chores for them. But yet many of us, when we don't understand boundaries, end up taking responsibility for everyone else, and we get so frazzled. We get so fried. In essence, I'm not responsible for their responsibilities because they're supposed to be responsible for them themselves. You know, whenever I try to take responsibility for them, even if I think it's to help them, there's been times where, and I'm guilty of maybe overdoing it a little, you know, they're getting behind on their chores, they want to have some fun, oh, I'll help you with the dishes. But what I'll notice is when I go to help them with the dishes, they disappear, and I'm now doing the dishes. Has that ever happened to you? I'll help you with the garbage. And before you know it, they're gone, and you're doing the garbage. And the problem with this is sometimes we take responsibility for, maybe it's people within our families. Maybe it's our spouse. Maybe it's in our workplace. And inevitably, when we take responsibility for them, guess what? They're going to let us. They are going to let us do that. And what we do is we enable something that's wrong. Maybe it's a thought process or some other type of burden that way. And it doesn't fix anything. So when we talk about what a boundary does, we have to make sure that we communicate what those boundaries are, because they will help. Some people say, well, I don't want to set boundaries because that just hurts people. Oh, we're going to talk about that next week, some myths about boundaries and what are some good fence posts that we need to have so that we can have those boundaries in our life. But I want to tell you this, when you set a healthy boundary, what it does is it actually helps. It helps whoever it is that you're setting the boundary with. Because what you're ultimately saying is, this is where I draw the line. You say, well, it will harm them, not help them in the long run. Now, there will be times when they will need help, children or other people around you. But if I don't help them with boundaries and communicating that, what's going to define them then? If I don't let healthy boundaries define them, and if I don't let healthy boundaries define me, who's going to be the influencer? Who's going to define who my son is supposed to become as he grows up? Is it going to be his friends that influence him? Is it going to be his girlfriend that influences him as he gets older? Is it going to be his future wife when he gets married? Is it going to be us as parents? It should be a relationship with Jesus Christ. It should be getting into the Word and letting the Word of God and those healthy boundaries define him. But another thing that boundaries do is they do this. Number two, they will lead you to a sense of ownership. They will define you and they will lead you to a sense of ownership. Boundaries will help you to distinguish what your property is so that you can take care of your property. Let me go back to my house. Now that I own my house, I'm responsible for it, and I know I must take care of it. And I know what I have to take care of. I know what I don't have to take care of. I have to mow my yard, but I don't have to mow my neighbor's yard, do I? I'm not responsible for my neighbor's yard. My neighbor has to mow his yard. I have to mow my yard. Why? Because that's my responsibility. His yard is his responsibility. So it is in our lives that when we mature, we have to take ownership and responsibility for what is ours in the same way. Stop taking responsibility for that which isn't yours. Some of us have been living life worrying about everybody else's problems and not taking care of our own. Not taking care of our own problems. Worrying about what everybody else is doing, but doing nothing with our responsibilities. And sometimes we find it's much easier to maintain the garden in our neighbor's house than to maintain our own garden, right? You know what I mean by that? It's easy to look at our neighbors and say, well, if what are they thinking? What are they doing? And why did they do that? We'll start saying things like, well, they shouldn't do that with their kids. They should do this. And we'll look at somebody else and we'll say, well, if I were them, I wouldn't do that. I would do this. Can you believe that they made that choice? Oh, that was just the dumbest thing. I wouldn't have done that. And it's easy to sit back and armchair quarterback this thing and say, look at what's wrong with everybody else, but never once looking at what's going on here. It's easy to take responsibility and point out what's wrong with your neighbor, but not being willing to look at what's going on with you. The Bible says something about that. It says, why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the log in your own? You see, too many times we get too quick to judge others. Why don't we see it? Because we don't want to. That's the answer. We don't want to see it. We don't want to take responsibility. We don't want to spend time looking at the speck, looking at the log in our eye. We want to look at the speck in everybody else's. So we must know what these boundaries are. And that means we have to take a sense of ownership. That's what it'll give to us when we allow God's word into our hearts and our lives. Boundaries will define us. Boundaries will tell us who we are and who we aren't. They'll give us a sense of ownership. And now I can start taking care of what is mine and stop worrying about what is not mine. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 7:6, don't give dogs what is holy, and don't throw your pearls before the pigs lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Do you remember that verse? I always just think, that is a jacked up verse. What, pigs and pearls? What's going on? You know, I never got it, but what I understand now is as I'm looking at boundaries is, I was asking, I said, what does that mean? Simply put, God's saying, keep the pearls in and kick the pigs out. Keep that which is precious. Embrace that. Draw that close to your heart and get rid of those things that you're not responsible for, those things that you don't need to be worrying about, those things that you don't need to even be thinking about. He's saying, start taking responsibility for yourself. Stop taking responsibility for everyone else. Start seeking God for you. Stop being responsible for leading someone somewhere that maybe you're not even willing to go. Start seeking Him. Stop seeking others before Him. He says, make sure you embrace which is the most valuable. Number three, a boundary will give me freedom. It will give me freedom. Another thing that a boundary does is gives us freedom. Let me take you back to my house one more time. I'm at my house. I've bought it. I know where the boundaries are now, right? I know where my yard begins and ends. I know where the property lines are. I know what I'm responsible for. Therefore, I can now enjoy everything within those boundaries. Freedom. I have a freedom in my house to enjoy my house. You have a freedom in your house to enjoy your house. When I'm in my house, if I want to go to the front room, guess what? I'm going to go to the front room. Why? Because I'm free to do that. If I want to go in the basement, I'm going to go in the basement. You know why? Because I'm free to go into the basement. If I want to go in the kitchen, I'm going to go in the kitchen unless there's some dishes to do or some cooking that needs to be done. And then I won't go in there. But if I want to go in there, you know, I'm going to go in there. Why? Because I'm free to go in there. But if I come over to your house and you invite me into your house and you invite me into your front room, then I'm going to come into your front room, but my boundaries stop there. Why? Because you only gave me permission and freedom. And you said, here's the boundary. I don't have the freedom to go into your house. And just because you open the door doesn't mean I can go up into your bedroom and start ripping out your dresser drawers and throwing clothes around and looking at all your dirty laundry and open up the closet and see what you got hiding in there. I can't do that. Why? I'd be crossing a boundary by doing that. That would not be right for me to do. What am I supposed to do then? Well, if you invite me over to your house and you invite me into your front room, then I stay in your front room, and that's where the boundary says you are invited to. Many of us today are frustrated in our families and relationships because when we enter into a relationship, boundaries aren't established. And one person thinks that because we're now in this relationship, I can do whatever I want, I can say whatever I want, I can think whatever I want. When the other person has only said, as I enter into this relationship, I'm just inviting you into the front room. You see, boundaries have not been communicated, and therefore we become frustrated. When you communicate those, you will have a freedom to function within that relationship or to function within that workplace or to function within whatever parameters you're talking about at that time. But if you ever cross those boundaries, you see, this is why we get irritated and frustrated. One is because we don't have good boundaries sometimes. Boundaries are needed sometimes, but not present. And sometimes boundaries are present that are not needed. We have to know what they are. But also, one of the reasons we struggle is because we don't respect other people's boundaries. We don't listen to them. And when we don't have good boundaries in place, we get frustrated. Life becomes very dramatic. How many of you guys like drama? All the guys are like, no, oh, dear God, no. You know, drama. Drama is one of those things that when you don't have good boundaries, you ever hear the slogan for TNT on TV? TNT, we know drama. Guess what? TNT has nothing on a boundaryless person. Because when you don't have boundaries, drama will enter into your life like you've never had before. Because there will be frustration, miscommunication, there'll be challenges you won't know what to do with. And can I share, I want to share something with you that is going to, I'm going to show you, it's a triangle that's on your sheet. I'm going to talk about it, but I'm going to bring it up at the beginning of next week too. Here's what I want to share with you. When we don't have good boundaries, and when we walk into these miscommunicated types of relationships, we enter into, we've all done this probably at some point, what's called the drama triangle, okay? I've got like 8 minutes left, and then we're going to be done. It's called the drama triangle. Do you mind if I share this with you this morning? You ready for this? Okay, because here's what happens. This is a triangle that we find ourselves in when we don't have good boundaries and we don't respect other people's boundaries. The first thing that happens is, go ahead and put the word up there. You got there at the bottom, victim. I don't know which word's going to come up first, so is there any words on there? There's none. At the bottom, write victim, okay? At the bottom, write victim. Victim at the bottom. You have a victim, and on the top left, I want you to write controller, okay? Controller. Controller. You like to control things. You want to be in charge of all that's going on. And on the right, I want you to write rescuer, like a lifeguard does. Rescues. Rescuer. So you have victim on the bottom, you have controller on the top left, and then you have rescuer on the far right. Everyone get that? You want me to repeat it one more time, anybody? Okay, because I want you to have this. Next week, we'll make sure to have the words up there for you so you'll get it again, because this takes a little while to think about and process. You see, when we enter into the drama triangle, whenever we're more concerned with what we want than what God wants for us, and we find ourselves in trouble. We enter into this triangle whenever we think others should be doing something for us and they're not, or others think we should be doing something for them and we're not. And the truth is, we've said it already, we're responsible to others, not for others, right? Right? Okay, make sure you're with me. This is not something to attain, by the way. You don't want to be on this triangle, all right? This is not a healthy triangle to be on. But you may find yourself there as we talk about it. Don't let that get you down. Identify, locate where you're at so you can let the Lord show you what you need to see so you can get off of it. You've got the victim, you've got the controller, and you've got the rescuer. See, what happens is this. I'm gonna come up with a fictitious story here, okay? So this, if anyone out here says, oh, he's talking about me, I am not talking about you, all right? But let's say that you're in a relationship or you have a friend or somebody in your life that all of a sudden finds themselves in trouble, okay? They're in trouble. Let's say that they've got a drug problem, they're facing jail time, they're court, whatever, they're going through divorce, kicked out of the house, and you start to feel sorry for them. So what happens is you see them as a victim on the bottom there. You say, oh, poor Johnny, poor Susie, you know, life sure is hard for them. Somebody really needs to help. I mean, really, somebody should be reaching out. Somebody should be doing something. And you see them as a victim. So what you do is you feel compelled to help them out, so you step into the position of rescuer. And you rescue that person from the problem that's going on in their life. And you feel good about that because we all like to be the rescuer because we know that we probably need to be rescued from some things or have needed that in the past. The problem is you step in as the rescuer and the victim says, oh, thank you so much for rescuing me. And you say, there's no need to fear. I'm here. You know, and you feel good about that. You say, you can stay at my place. You can hang out at my home. You can do whatever you want to do until you get back on your feet. The problem is 2 months go by. 3 months go by, and they're not doing one darn thing to find a job, find a house, help pay the rents, help pay the bills. They're just mooching off of you, and after a while, you were like, super rescuer. You know, you're going, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. You know, I tried to help him because he was, you know, a poor little victim. I stepped in as the rescuer, so then you go and you have a conversation, and you say, hey dude, you need to get a job. You need to do something. You got to get a job. You got to help me pay for that. I mean, I opened up my home for a period of time. You've been here longer than that. And now it's going on. I can't keep affording this. What happens is this. Roles start to flip. You were the rescuer helping a victim. But now that you've come and said, hey, buddy, start paying some money, get a job, do something, or get out of my house. Now you're seen as the controller. Now you're seen as the controller and you're trying to control the victim. And what the victim will do is the victim will say, how can you do this to me? That's not fair. That's not nice. You said you were a Christian and you were going to show good Christian love. You open up my home, bring me in saying, this is the love of Jesus. And then you kick me in the teeth telling me, get a job. And what the victim does is the victim manipulates the controller until the controller goes, oh, you're right. I'm so sorry. yeah, I shouldn't be doing that. And the victim all of a sudden gets the roles reversed once again, and now the controller feels like they got another victim in the house, and what do? They swoop in as Mr. Rescuer. And this circle keeps going on and on and on. How many of you have ever had a hamster in your house, or a gerbil, or any other four-legged creature that runs on a wheel? I always was amazed. They get on this wheel, and they go faster and faster and faster and faster, and they keep going and keep going. I think that is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. Somebody who would hop on a wheel, running, thinking they got somewhere, and wasted part of their life. And then I thought, isn't that what we do when we don't have boundaries? And we get on this dramatic triangle. It's the same thing. We go through the circle and we spin around and around and around. Here's the goal. Here's what we need to do. By the way, can I tell you this? Jesus himself was never one of these. Never. Now, I might throw you for one of them because you go, I thought Jesus, you know, that doesn't make sense. You see, Jesus was never a controller. He gave us choice. We still have a choice to make. We still get to choose, right? Yeah, we get to choose. We got to choose what we're going to wear today. We got to choose if we were going to come or not. So he's not controlling us. You may say, well, I thought Jesus was my rescuer. No, he's our Savior. He's our Savior, first and foremost. But he teaches us to be responsible. So Jesus was never a victim. Oh, he was a victim. He got nailed to a tree. Yes, he did. But Jesus was not a victim in that role. Jesus chose to go to the cross. He didn't get drugged there kicking and screaming. He chose to go. You see, God's greatest desire is that we can be a people who discover what true freedom is all about, and that it's found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That's the freedom he wants to give to you and me. So here's my challenge, and I'm done. Jesus, may you define in us what healthy boundaries are. Amen? Because when you say amen, you're not just saying, yeah, I'm going to agree with you. That means you're saying, Lord, show me what they are. Show me what I need to see. You know, Lord, show me that according to your word, not the world's way. Help me to guard my heart. Help me to trust in you and remove some of those walls so that you and I can be a people that live in true freedom. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. And I pray today that, Lord God, the word has been put out. The challenge has been laid out in front of us. Now, Lord, we just ask that you would help us to respond to that in a godly way. Lord, will you show us our responsibility in the midst of this so that we may have the best that you have for us. You know, today I pray that if you're here and you've not had those healthy boundaries, today can be the day that you can do something about that. You may be here and you've walked with the Lord for 10 years, but you still don't have healthy boundaries. Today's a new day. Let it be the day where you start to let his word define you in a much, much finer way. Maybe you're not here and you don't have that relationship with God. I want to give you an opportunity. I'm simply going to ask this. If you're here this morning, you don't have that relationship with God, but you know you need that. Because these boundaries we've talked about, guess what? Everything we talked about, God gives by his grace. By grace, we have been saved. That grace is here today. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I want it. Are you here today? And that's you. Just simply raise your hand. I'll wait for just a moment. I agree with you. God sees your hand and your heart. Receive that today in the name of Jesus so you know you have that relationship with him. Is there any other hearts? Wait for just a moment. Okay, then I'm going to pray this. Father, I pray today that we as the church body of Church of the Open Door, as we leave here today, may we leave with a deeper understanding of what we are responsible for and what we are not. Lord, may we leave here today and do something with what we are responsible for, and may we stop messing and meddling and worrying about the things we don't need to. Lord, I pray today that as we leave here, we proclaim your word, we proclaim your grace, your glory, and your mercy. And Lord, when the enemy comes in and tries to confuse us, and when the enemy comes in and tries to muddle the waters, Lord, I pray that in the name of Jesus, he would be kept at bay because we are a light that is going to shine in this community. So we receive that today in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Now, before we leave, I want to do this. I don't know if there's any that are here this morning, but if there's any that are coming into membership this Sunday, if you are here and you're coming into membership, would you come forward at this time? This is Membership Sunday where we offer the opportunity. We had about 8 or 9 or 10 or something like that in a class, so I don't know if they're coming to first or second. Is there anyone here, first service? And if there's not, that's perfectly fine, but I need to ask. None? You bunch of turkeys? No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Okay, they're going to be here second service then. Go ahead, stand with me. I want to say thank you once again for being the church. I want to thank you for coming early. I want to thank you for clapping. Some of us, our hands are so sore from doing this and that, but thank you because that was showing the love of God in a practical way. I'm excited to just see how that's going to ripple through the community. God bless you. We have some donuts and coffee next door. Feel free to dig in. And bananas. God bless you. You're dismissed.